I also want to acknowledge, this just doesn't happen, this service, all this stuff that you see up here. And there's always these behind-the-scenes people. And I just want to make sure you understand how much Sophie does for this church and behind the scenes. Stuff wasn't working this morning. I went up into the Holy of Holies, and and immediately I saw stress. And I said, "How are you?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "How are you? Things aren't working." I said, "Well, praise God. He has closed the door. He has slammed the door. And that means he's going to either take care of it or he's going to open up another one." Amen? And there you go. And I think things are up and running. We'll find out. Yep, they are. All right, see? All works out. Yes, trust him. He is faithful no matter what. This is for sure. Oh. You know, last year I did start out with a joke, and that is very risky to do that because everything can go sour from that point on, you know. But I'm a risk taker, and so I am going to go ahead anyway. So this woman went into the doctor. Oh, it could be a guy, too. Listen, I shared this joke at a church a couple weeks ago, and a woman came up to me, and she goes, "Why does it always have to be a woman in your jokes?" So that's why I just caught myself. In fact, let me start over. Okay, so a guy went to a doctor. Unlikely. But anyway. Yes, they're already listening, Pastor. He had a skin rash. And the doctor goes, "Oh, no, I have seen a lot of that lately. You got to get this taken care of or it'll spread and it won't be good." He goes, "I know. What do I do?" And he goes, "Well, we have come up with a remedy." "You have?" "Yes, it's kind of awkward. But, and we can take care of it in the back room. The gals can set up the guy, I have to adjust this whole joke now that I started with a guy. But you have to take a bath in milk for 4 hours. "What?" "I know, it's very awkward. But it works. It takes it away and it never comes back." "Oh, but I got to ask you, do you want pasteurized?" And he goes, "No, just up to my neck." See, some of you are still going, "What's pasteurized?" But then I got this gal who really got it, and you're going to share that joke this week, aren't you? Yeah. This is good. No, just, I mean, have you ever felt like life's coming at you and you're up to your neck in alligators? All right, we're going to talk about the stresses of life today. And then my second one. Well, if you can get by one, might as well do two, right? Okay. Especially if I can tie it into the message. All right. So these two men were on a walk. Okay, so I am going to use men on this one. All right, So they're on a walk, and they come across a very deep hole. And one guy says to the other, he says, "Wow, that's a deep hole. I wonder how deep it is." So they got a branch, and they threw the branch down, and it seemed to take forever. "Wow, that's a deep hole." And the other guy tossed a coin or a rock in there, and "Wow, that's a deep hole. Wonder what else we can toss down there." And they look around, and not too far from them, there was this old rusted out engine. So they went over there and they picked up that engine, and they brought it over, and they dropped it down there. Moments after that, a goat comes flying by 100 miles an hour, jumps right into that hole. And the guy says, "Did you see that? That was a goat. He went right into the hole." A few minutes later, a fellow comes over and he says, "Have you seen, I've lost my goat. Have you seen my goat?" We did. He was going 100 miles an hour, went right by us and went right down, jumped right in that hole. "Well, that's strange. I had him tied up to an old rusty engine." Don't you just love that one? I mean, seriously, have you ever felt like life just takes you by the neck and jerks you into a situation where, you know, you don't want to be in anyway? Yeah, I just love that. So, if you don't remember anything about the message, you might remember the jokes. So, there you go. I'm just going to oftentimes people ask me, Or when you introduce yourself, when you're introduced, somebody say, okay, who are you? I'm John Smith. Okay, nice to meet you. When they ask me, I'll say, I'm David. I'm a missionary. Or I'll say, I'm a disciple. Or an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Instead of answering the question, are you a Christian? That has become so watered down. People use that word for convenience. I mean, almost anybody can say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But very few people will say, I'm a missionary for Jesus. I'm a disciple for Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador. Try that. Believe me, the interaction is the difference between night and day. Now, if you're a missionary, raise your hand. Now, that's so interesting because there was hesitation in this room. Well, because when you think of missionary, you think of people who go long distances. But there's a mission field in your backyard. In fact, there's a mission field when your feet hit the ground when you wake up in the morning. If you think of yourself as a missionary, it can change how you live your life. If you're a disciple for Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Okay, not so much hesitation. If you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Yeah. How many would like to be an active missionary for Jesus Christ? Yeah, well, you are. And if you haven't thought of yourself that way until this morning, I'm telling you now, you are a missionary right in your backyard. And wherever you go, and whoever you encounter is your divine appointment today. Some might remember last year when I shared, when I was 17 years ago, when I was 17, some 42, 45 years ago. Anyway, my pastor said to me, if you assume that every person you meet is hurting in some way, you will be right 99% of the time. I sure have found that in my life. When I go and I give a message at a church, I am focused on those who have come today who need to be assured that God is present in their life. I assume that there's a certain percentage of people here today who are really, really hurting. I assume there's something going on in most of your lives, and you need assurance that God is going to be faithful, and He will bring you through. We need assurance. We need to know that He is present. As in Psalm 46, He is a very present help in trouble. He's not just a help in trouble. He's not just a present in trouble. There's three words, and you'll never read that psalm the same again. He is a very present help in trouble. Very present. It's hard to remember that when we're going through storms. It's hard to remember that when the door slams shut. When the door slams shut, What do we usually do? Well, we're human, sinful. We panic. Now what? We get tossed into worry. What are we going to do now? I need this fixed now. I have prayed and he has not heard me. Wrong. When you pray, God always hears you. But he hasn't answered my prayer. Oh, yes, he has. How do you know? Trust. I promise you, God has heard you. Now, his answer might be no. Well, that's not what I want. Well, it's not about you, actually. I'm sorry to tell you. Change your thought. Change your prayer. Thank him that he has heard you. Thoughts of prayers and praise, prayers of praise and thanksgiving will bring you peace. Will bring you peace. Well, why hasn't he? Because perhaps that's not his will for your life. He hears you. And he has a plan for you. So what are you to do when the door slams shut? Stop, drop, and roll. Yeah? Did we not learn that? When there's a fire, stop, drop, and roll. The door slams shut. Stop. Just pause for a second. Acknowledge his presence. The next one that comes, the next challenge, the next storm that hits you, stop. Pause. Acknowledge. Then drop. Drop. Drop to your knees. Pray. Pray prayers of thanks and give prayers of praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard me. Thank you, Lord, that you are working out this storm. I praise you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You are faithful. I promise you. It brings peace. How do I know? I've been there. If you've been there, raise your hand. See, yes. What do you do when the door slams shut? Stop. Acknowledge. Pause. Drop. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him? Are you kidding me? This is happening in my life and you're expecting me to thank him. Yes, I am. Because how many here have gone through storms and have got through them and you look back and you go, oh man, God was here, God was there. I've grown closer. I wouldn't be the person I am today had I not experienced that. Huh? So really, thank him. Praise him when the storm comes. Thank him when the door slams shut. I promise he will be faithful. He is faithful. And those who's shaking their heads just like this right now have been there, and they can testify. Last year, I read to you all of the stuff that Karen and I have gone through in the last 18 years, and I'm not going to read them again, but some of you might remember, oh my, that's a lot. You might remember me saying, and I thank God for every one of them. Those storms, one after another, to a point where you want to say, okay, I got it. We don't need this anymore. Or, I mean, I don't get up in the morning and go, okay, bring me on another one. because I'm getting so good at this. No, but if you might recall, I said, I have had so many storms that I can honestly say to you, I don't fear the next one. I don't fear the next one. Why? Because I've been blessed with so many. And I can look back and I can say, look, he brought me through. In fact, when they come, and I'll just share three that have happened since last year. Add 19 years in a row now, not just 18. When they come, if you've gone through enough, if you've been blessed with enough, you can say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to bless to do. Thank you how you are going to draw me nearer to you. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Boy, when you can do that, when the door slams shut, it changes your whole life. When you can immediately say, thank you, Jesus, for this storm. So in this year, our son Marcus had radical surgery to remove another mass that was found. Thank you, Jesus. My wife, Karen, had three-in-one surgery, followed by 12 weeks of rehab. In fact, she's still in rehab. She can't raise that bread, what do you call it, roller, as high as she used to. Okay. So that would be an example of a little humor, in which case she would say, very little, David, very little. Yeah. My cousin Doug Voice was killed in a bike accident. And I have two spots on my lung. I'm going tomorrow for a CT scan. Check what's going on there. Now, when you say spots on the lung, don't you kind of want to go, I know somebody who started out with that, turned into cancer, he's dead. I mean, your mind can just go nuts. You know what I want to stand up and say to you today? Praise Jesus. Something good's going to come out of this. He is going to totally bless me, or he's going to use me to bless a nurse or a doctor, and I'm going to have a new mission field when I go into that CT scan tomorrow. And living life like that is the difference of night and day. Why? Because he is faithful. He will always be faithful. You can trust him no matter what you are going through today. God loves you. He wants the best for you, and he will heal you. So I'm visiting this man in the hospital, and he asks me, why isn't God healing me? Full of cancer. I said, what makes you think he isn't? Well, look at me. But I said, Ron, I knew you when you didn't know the Lord. He's healed you, honey. He has healed you. What's the best healing? Spiritual. You're going to be healed. I can promise it. I can promise you, you're going to be healed. If he takes you home, you're healed. If you continue to suffer on earth, you will be blessed. Look for the blessings in the midst of the pain. Look for the blessings. So, I don't mind asking you to pray for those two spots on the lung, whatever that's going to amount to. I love the Lord. Life is easy when you're on a mountain. This will be God on the mountain. Linda. Life is easy when you're on a mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still the God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on a mountain, But talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still a God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. Still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go
I want you to take out those little cards I gave you. These are what I call Hemi prayer cards. Started with a homeless man I was talking to after a chapel. He came up to me and he said, "Could you teach me how to pray?" I said, "Why, has it become difficult for you?" "Well, right here in 1 Thessalonians, I said, "Don't worry about it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, it said, be joyful always." He goes, "Really? Always? Always? People do this?" What's the next verse? "Pray continuously." "Really? People do this? I run out of words." And what's the third? What's the next verse? "In all things give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." "Really? Give thanks in all things?" He says, "I'm trying to be obedient. I don't know if I can do this." I said, "Well, you asked the right question. Teach me how to pray." "So I'm going to teach you a prayer," I said to him. "And this prayer, I promise, will change your life forever. And I'm going to ask you to pray it 25 to 50 times a day." "What?" I was just, "I'm not good at memorizing." "You'll be fine. I'm going to call it a Hemi prayer." "Isn't that an 8-cylinder engine?" "Yeah, gives you more torque, more power. It's a split-second prayer. Pray it all day, I promise it'll change your life." Here it is. I surrender to you, Lord. Amen. That's it. That's it. Dwayne, if you played that, prayed that all day long, do you think it would change your life? I think it might. Why? I don't know. I'd be thinking, I'd be talking to him all day. Yeah. And when you abide in him, he abides in you. Draw close to him, he will draw close to you. Pray continuously. Freeze frame, 9 months later, he graduates from our recovery program. He grabs me and he goes, Mr. Burrier, do you remember November 26th? Well, that was when you taught me that Hemi prayer. Do you remember? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you told me if I prayed that 25 to 50 times a day, it would change my life forever. Remember? Yeah. Well, I have a confession. What? I've never prayed that prayer 25, 50 times a day. Oh, well, that's okay. Look at you're graduating. This is awesome. No, you don't understand. I pray it 100 to 200 times a day. And you're right. You promised me it would change my life. I said, how has it changed your life? I'm more joyful. Not always, but I'm more joyful. I'm much more grateful. Not always, but much more grateful. And why is that, Dwayne? I think it's because I'm just praying to him a lot. Pick one. It amazes me how in the last 5 years, this little prayer card has helped to change people's prayer life. People make prayer too complicated. Just pick one in the morning and go all day long. And if you want to know the scriptures that go with it, I'm going to share some. But you can go to that website, and I have a scripture attached to each one of those Hemi prayers. So as I wrap up here, I want to share with you some of the lessons that I have learned from all of those storms that have been in our lives. And I think it's my obligation to share how I have been blessed through each one, and how God has drawn me near and the lessons I've learned. And so let's just go, this is how I'm going to do this. I'm going to share a lesson. You're going to hear a scripture. And then I'm going to, after the scripture is read, I'm going to go, yes! And you're going to read the Hemi prayer. Let's try that. We're going to go with Hemi prayer number one. And as soon as I say that, everyone looks and they tick and they turn their card. They go, oh, there's 42. How long is he going to preach? I assure you I'm not going to go through all 42. But let's start with number one. Why? This is how I start my day. Every day. You know how it is? When you realize in the morning, I'm alive. You haven't even opened up your eyes yet. Before you open up your eyes, before I open up my eyes, I do this. I love you, Lord. Amen. And I do it out loud. What a great way to start. I'd encourage you to do the same. I love you, Lord. Amen. Then I open up my eyes. What lesson have I learned? I've learned that God is always teaching me new ways to endure storms in my life.
Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven.
Yes. So we'll try that again. Yes. Awesome. I have learned, number four, I have learned that I can trust God to carry me even in the midst of my darkest hour, for if God is for me, who can be against me?
Psalm 91:2, I will save the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Yes. So what if you just picked that one for today and go all day long? No matter what you're going through, and I know many of you are in a storm. How do I know that? Because I read eyes really well. And the eyes are the window to the soul. And it's no sooner than I do that, no matter where I'm at, here's what happens. Too late. Yes, there are people right here. Is your radar up? There are people in your fellowship who are really hurting right here today. I trust you, Lord. Amen. Number five, I've learned that if I assume that every person I meet is hurting and struggling in some way, I'll be right 99% of the time. I have learned that my tests in life can become my testimony to help others through their storm.
Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Yes. Wow. What if you chose that one today? And why did I want a card for every child who can read? Children can pray Hemi prayers. The little girl in that yellow, you match that card. Yeah. You can pray Hemi prayers every day. Use me, Lord. Oh, boy, if you pray that prayer, wow, watch out. Because all day long you're going, use me, Lord. Amen. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. All of a sudden, something happens in your life, and you look and you go, he just used me. Do it again. I don't know if you do this. I'll bet some of you do. But once in a while when I'm going through the grocery store, I'm there getting checked out. Well, not really. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. The checker is, well, nobody checks me out anymore. Well, except my wife. She checks me out now and then. Anyway, 42 years. I mean, pretty good if they still check you out. But anyway, so I look over to my left and I kind of see who's behind me and I kind of estimate what's in their cart. And so then I get cash over. It's so fun. Oh, when you get stuck with the joy of giving, it changes everything. And so I'll get $20 over or something. And I'll hand it to the staff there, the checker, and give this $20 to the next. Do you know them? No. I said, it's a joy of giving. Just do it. Wait till I'm out of here, though. So the next person comes up, and then he says, the guy before you is paying for your groceries today. Who is that? See, they weren't paying attention. We didn't meet, we didn't engage, whatever. So I'm out in the car, and Karen happens to be with me that day, and we're in the car, and we're driving away. Here's this lady who's coming out of Hy-Vee, and she's looking around, and she spots me, and she goes like this, and she comes running over. I roll down my window, I put my arm there, you know. She touches my arm. She goes, how did you know? What? How did you know? Know what? Today is the one-year anniversary of my little boy who died, and I just came in here to get these roses on my way to the gravesite. How did you know? I said, I didn't. God knows. God knows. We have these opportunities. I love telling people this. I'm going to pray for you as I drive home. What one thing would you like me to pray for? Oh, sweetie, when you raise your hand, I have to come down. What's your first name? Ashley?
Addison.
So I just asked that question, and you just raised your hand. What one thing would you like me to pray for you as I drive home today? And now she's going, oh, I should have never raised my hand. Did she say? What? For your family? Okay, is this your family? Mm-hmm. So I'm going through Walgreens, and this 16-year-old doesn't even look at me, doesn't acknowledge me. Beep, 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 beep. You know, scanning. There was none. Oh, so glad you were here. Did you find anything? Did you find everything you need? We're so glad you chose Walgreens today. None of that. So I lean forward, and Charnessa, what? Did you need to? How did you know my name? I said, honey, you've got a name tag on. What, you need something? Can I help you to find something? Is there a problem? Am I doing something wrong? It's okay. Just take a deep breath right now. What do you need? I said, I want to ask you a question. What do you want? Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Very dramatic. I'm looking down here, three or four people waiting in line. They're all going, what's that old man doing to that little girl over there? Well, what's wrong?
I lost all my money and I don't know what I'm going to do.
She's crying. How would I know she's lost all her money? We must be bold. It's our mission field. Charnessa?
What?
I'm going to pray for you as I drive to Ankeny. It's going to take me about 20 minutes. I need one thing you want me to pray for. You're going to pray for me? Yeah. Why? You don't even know me. I know. I get to. It's awesome. I don't shut my eyes. What one thing do you want me to pray for, Charnessa? Would you pray for my friend Ardell? You just revealed your heart to me. What? You just deflected a prayer for yourself to someone else. That tells me everything about you. You have a good heart. What's going on with Ardell? He's going to prison tomorrow and he's sacred! I mean, you think I'm being dramatic? Oh my goodness, everybody in that store could hear this girl. She wants me to pray for Ardell, her friend. I said, okay, how about I will pray for his peace of mind. Oh, he needs peace of mind. I said, now how about if I pray for your peace of mind? What do you think she's thinking the next 20 minutes? Someone's praying for me that never met me before. This is what we need to do. We need to be bold. We need to be disciples, ambassadors. Do you think this is drawing her near? Do you think God is revealing himself through you to her? Yes. Can you do that this week? You don't ask permission. I do that a lot. I don't ask permission and apologize later. I don't ask permission. I tell them, I'm going to pray with you. And this gal just said, don't lean on that because that's going to tip over. Move away from the... Try that this week. Don't ask permission. Just say, I'm going to pray for you. It's going to take me 8 minutes to get home or whatever. I just need one thing. Just tell me one thing. There's people hurting all around us. There's a mission field all around us. People are hurting. I promise you that one way God will bring you peace is when you decide to get out of yourself in the midst of your pain and go to someone who needs you. 17, I've learned that what really matters has more to do with what happens in me than to me.
John 15:4-7. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you.
Yes. Imagine praying that all day. Abide in me, Lord. Amen. Abide in me. It would change your life. Well, I can see by the clock we need to pull this together. I want to focus now on another song that I'm going to play to end this. But I want to focus on those in this room that are hurting. And I want to pray for you. I actually might take a risk, another risk. Say, if you are hurting in some way and you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need prayer today, be bold. Say, I need prayer. I'm going through stuff. Go ahead. I knew that. Bold. I saw you when I first came in. I saw you. You were alone. You were wiping tears. Who else? There's somebody else. There are others here who are afraid to stand, but you need prayer. You're in fellowship. Yes. Yes. And I'm going to pray this, or play this next song. Sometimes it takes a mountain. And as we're listening to this song, others can stand. When you stand, I'm going to ask anybody that can, I want you to get up, go to these folks who are standing, lay hands on them. There's two more. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do that now. Get up, come around them. These are your brothers and sisters who have stood enough to say, I need you. Put your hands on them, and as you listen to this song, I am going to ask you to pray with them. Pray them. Pray for them. Any others who need prayer, raise your hand. All right.
The mountain that I've never faced before, and that's why I'm calling on you, Lord. And I know
it's good, they need to hear your prayers.
Been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before.
And those that are seated, just extend your hand towards any of these folks. Just extend your hand to them. Pray for them as you're sitting in your pew.
Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold. So much stronger than whatever troubles me.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and
the strength that's coming into those who are hurting because of your surrounding them with your prayer, your love.
I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way.
We think we can control it, but we need to surrender it.
This I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to
you.
We need you, Lord. Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Pray out loud, pray out loud.
Sometimes the troubles seem. Sometimes. Whatever troubles me,
you're here in the front, lift up your hands. Lift up at those hands.
Whoa. Sometimes it takes a mountain.
We're going to trust you, Lord.
Sometimes
the trust.
Jesus, you are the one, you are our mountain where we can go to, the rock where we can stand upon, and everyone who stands in your presence this morning, Lord. We all have our own mountains to climb. We all have our own challenges, but you are there for each one. Those who stood up by faith, Lord, you will never let them down, I know. That you will answer every prayer, and we thank you that you are so faithful to all of us, Lord. I think about, Lord, how this whole place here with your people may be turned into a place of awesome prayers, simple, profound, because you are not a God of complicated things. You are making it so simple for your children to come. May each one this morning here, Lord, everyone, may they be encouraged to reach out to you and to cry out to you that they know you are there, Lord. You answer their prayers. There is nothing too difficult. And where doors have been shut, you have something new. Where mountains have to be climbed, you be there. You give the strength. And when we have to go down to the valleys, you're there too, because you are everywhere. And Lord, this morning we're just thanking you for how you minister to each one of us in a very special way, wherever we may be with you in our walk. May the walk will be strengthened through what we've heard, to the faith you have raised up in us, in each one of us, to trust you more than ever, no matter what the future holds. Because we know that eventually you are the one who holds the future. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we love you. And we lift up your name wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, Amen. Amen.